Blog Talk Radio.
There were some clouds, they were rolling through the sky, and they brought down all the rain. And there was a puddle that became a pond as it gathered up so much rain. Little seed close by grew into a tree as it soaked up so much rain.
Hello, it's the Philosophy Show, and my name's Thomas, and good to hear from you. Thanks for tuning in to the Philosophy Show on blogtalkradio.com/TGMCS. It's Wednesday night, Thursday morning, and that's where you'll usually find this show every Wednesday night, Thursday morning, 12:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. The show is called The Philosophy Show, and you know, and philosophy covers lots of different things, whether it's relationships, whether it's politics, principles, human interaction, psychology, sociology, science, mathematics, arts, culture, lifestyle, religion, and more. And thoughts, actions, history, the future. So you could call the show Life, Time. I guess those are ready. That's why it's very general. I have an eclectic set of interests and think everything kind of ties in together. It's about morals, ethics. And so if you're listening for the first time, we invite you to call in if you want to talk about problems, solutions, issues, news, conspiracies, quotes, advice, reviews, and philosophy. And today's show is called Guns, The Philosophy of Guns, Self-Defense, Offense, Guns. And we've been seeing a lot of, what made me think about it is I've been hearing it on the radio a lot and want to give an objective, as much as I can, objective a reflection on this. It's going to be another show called Objective. Can anyone claim to be objective? That's used to be the standard of our media news. You know, reporters, you know, in like the 1930s when they used to wear those little hats and typing on that typewriter and asking those politicians those questions. I have a follow-up question, sir. They were trying to get to the truth. They're objective reporters. They weren't bought by their commercial advertisers. They didn't sink to just trying to entertain you. They ask the tough questions. They're straightforward. They want to get people the information because in a democracy, you have to have an informed and educated public. Otherwise, if you have the whole public uninformed, then what good is a democracy? If 90% of the people are dumb, you know, and I mean that as an uninformed. I don't mean not having the capability of being informed. So don't make no mistake. But it's very important. I mean, if half the people, 90% of the people think whatever, you can talk about any issue, abortion, global warming. Today we're talking about guns, though. So let's keep it to guns. Although if you want to call in and you have like an emergency advice thing that you need in a relationship or something, by all means, you know, I talk to people on an individual level, and to me that's always more important, and maybe if we figure that out, I can ask you your opinion about guns. But so I do want to look at it in an objective formula, even though if I do have a persuasion one way, sort of, now. At my age, which I want you to think about that, whatever age you are, I don't know if most of this audience is in their 20s or teenagers or 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 100s, whatever. It doesn't matter to me. And this is an all-ages show. I always post it as such because I want everyone to be able to participate and think. I mean, when I was 12 and stuff, I loved to learn new things and watch documentaries and stuff like that. I wanted to participate in society, go to concerts and see all ages shows. But so we don't need to, anything that we can talk about, we can talk to all ages here. And so this is a microcosm of all our shows here. I mean, finding the principles. So another thing that really grabbed my attention besides news coverage of police, I mean, of shootings all over the country, of people doing mass shootings like that church in South Carolina and then that other recent guy shooting the news reporters. And in some of those cases, you know, the friends and family members, it's, you know, and it's also, so there's a couple things. There's so many ways you can start this conversation off. Could think about what caused these solutions. I mean, what matters why it's caused? Because obviously, if you know the cause, you can prevent it from happening again and make it less likely. That's one reason. Another reason to understand in itself, and then you have the politicians climb out of the woodwork. Whenever there's a societal problem, there's someone that's going to make the economy better, get us more jobs, you know, make sure there's no more violence, you know, and some things that they can do. I mean, I do think there's a place for civics, but a lot of these politicians we know are full of it, and they're very limited on what they truly work pro bono for the public. I mean, most of their work, you know, they're getting paid and they're representing their clients who are the lobbyists who pay them. But once in a while, they do some pro bono work for us, the people. And it's like one out of every 10 bills, like they're, you know, just I might as well do something for them. And they're usually very minimal things compared to the billions and trillions that they do for their banker buddies and their banker bed buddies. But for we the people, the Constitution, the people, citizens, whatever, you know, the social security numbers, the tax pool, whatever you want to call us, the great divide between independents, Republicans, and Democrats, and third parties, whatever it is, sometimes they throw us a bone. And I can't really think of too many things, honestly. I mean, they've given us war, unnecessary war. They've made it harder to compete against them by trying to elect an independent or third-party candidates. They've given so many bailouts to banks and stuff while they're cutting, you know, the public's Social Security and Medicare, making it harder to buy things, prescription drugs in bulk, making it impossible almost to buy them across the border in Canada, forcing us to buy health insurance that we might not want, and not providing a public option until you're, you know, 65 or soon to be probably 68 or something. And at the same time, you know, and also another thing you could talk about is priorities. So the future, what are we going to do about things? And are we going to solve everything on this call? I don't know, but sometimes here's the thing, and this is what I want to encourage on this show, is critical thinking about any subject. This subject could be about teddy bears, could be about lemons, it could be about Star Wars. Whatever it is, I want to think mostly, I mean, unless we're just being silly, is think critically and brainstorm it all out and then let your brain process it later. And then when you wake up or a couple days later or maybe just later that evening or whatever, or maybe instantly, you'll come to some solutions. It's amazing where our brain is like, you can put in all this information and you want to get as much as you can, and, you know, some of it with a grain of salt, and compare it and use your discernment, you know, as you're going through this information. I mean, fact check, verify, get multiple sources, something that sound right, you know, dig deeper. Even if something does sound right or something sounds too good to be true, dig deeper. And then, you know, sometimes you need a reboot before you download that information, that data, and to make sense of it. That's what our brain's capable of doing. And so not have knee-jerk reactions. Not to say sometimes we shouldn't. I mean, if someone's attacking you, you know, you might need a knee-jerk reaction. And but not to see everything as statistics and a one-size-fits-all. I mean, there's individual situations, and we're not putting a blanket over anything. I mean, and that's a dangerous thing, too. You know, that's why, you know, things are the way they are. And so when we analyze this, here's some things that we're going to think about. One is the question. What's the question? Why put it out there? I mean, the philosophy of guns. Are we talking about self-defense or offense? Okay, and so, well, and that might branch off into some more questions, but I think you get the gist. It goes to the heart of the matter of this debate, and I want you, whether you're pro or anti-gun laws or more gun laws or, you know, wherever in the spectrum you might even be on that, is to think about these things in a new way and then let your brain compute it all and walk away with some common sense, you know, kind of like a 24-hour waiting period. So so what are the questions? You want to ask the right questions, and you might have some more follow-up questions. And then what are the consequences? Number two. Or actually, number two, before I get to the consequences, what are the definitions? What are the definitions? What does self-defense mean versus offense? What is a knee-jerk reaction? You know? And so when we say root cause, what do we mean by root cause of something? What do we mean by just patching up a hole on a sinking Titanic? And not to say that's always a bad thing. I mean, you know, and of course ask the who, what, when, where, why, and hows. I mean, who's going to suffer the consequences? Who are you? And why do you think the way you do? Is it your subconscious creating your thoughts, or is it your 10% conscience? And is your subconscious trained the way you trained it or the way someone else did? And where? I mean, does a principle last no matter what generation we're in, or will it be the same now as it is maybe 200 years, whether we're in a more advanced society or some kind of Mad Max thing? And would the gun principles be different if you lived in a Mad Max thing? You know, whether you think that might happen from war or global warming or rise of the machines or whatever, it could happen. I think it probably has happened in the past 10,000, 18,000 years ago, maybe another time 36,000 years ago. Could it be natural events, meteorites? Why does this matter? Why do you care? And what are you going to do about it? And how? And then let's go into the brainstorms, the what ifs. And then number four, different situationals, where we kind of branch this out a little bit. And then number five, I bet there's some weird paradoxes and ironies that we can think about. And that's kind of where everything comes together, right? You know, you have a real solution if there's a paradox, probably, or you have, well, maybe that's something to think about, but that's just That's just kind of anecdotal. And so let's start with that. The question, I mean, you know, when the parents and relatives of these tragic victims come out and say, yeah, we need stricter gun laws and these things, when is it right, when is it wrong? Sometimes it might be right. Like, maybe if we were attacked by, you know, 9/11, Pearl Harbor, you have to respond, right? I mean, you do want to make sure you get all the facts. And just like if someone's murdered, I mean, people are innocent until proven guilty. You know, you get the facts. You do what you have to do to defend yourself. You know, you have the moral high ground. You prepare. You know, you announce to the world what you're going to do. And sometimes, and then you do it. You get justice and through the truth. And sometimes you have to react quickly if someone is breaking into someone's house. You know, obviously, they have a right to self-defend themselves. So another, what's the principle? I mean, there's so many principles you can argue one off each other. So which principle is going to win? Is it the principle that if 1% of the population, or even less than 1%, 1% of 1% does something vicious, unhuman, something that deserves a death penalty, do we have to create rules for the 99% of the rest of us? Should we be the ones that get punished because of this? Or do we just take some casualties? Or do we reduce pleahoods? Now, some people, now that's where we're going to how, the solution. Some people say, okay, I think we all can agree nothing's going to be utopia. There will always be some things, but we can all agree to reduce likelihoods. That's where we end up in abortion. That's what the, you know, the Planned Parenthood people would say to people who believe in pro-choice, is that if you really were pro-choice, you would want more people to have Planned Parenthood because there'd be less unwanted births in the first place and less abortions. I mean, and we can agree on a principle of not having other people pay for those. And but then, you know, it's kind of hypocritical that people can support war. So if we're talking about priorities, if we're talking about deaths in the billions. So that's another thing we have to talk about, is priorities, because that shows how serious you are in something. We've all seen examples where, you know, someone is having a hissy fit and throwing tantrums and, you know, over silly little things, but they're letting all the big things go. That would be Republicans, typically, I think. You know, they're always complaining about welfare and stuff like that, and raising the minimum wage and all this. Yet the biggest welfare, the biggest in massive numbers, goes to big corporations that get contracts from government that have a revolving door within it, and totally is bought, you know, they have their lawyers that are elected to governments. That's where the billions go. I mean, you can't even compare, you know, and I'm not talking about Social Security or Medicare. Those are things that people pay into, like an insurance. And those should be self-sufficient. I mean, it would be, Social Security would be a lot more solvent if we haven't raided the Social Security Trust Fund. I do think it should be voluntary. I think everything government should be voluntary, like the post office. But I do think we should have public options like Medicare for all, Social Security. There's lots of things, I think, that might seem progressive. But the libertarian part of it is the principle. I can't ignore these principles. I mean, I would not agree with sending anyone to jail if they didn't pay their taxes. I don't think most people wouldn't. But I can't agree with crossing that line. I mean, and that has happened, even if it's only happened to like a handful of people. They matter. And the individual is the greatest minority. I mean, greatest minority nowadays is people that care and that are informed and educated on the issues. And so, you know, We need to reform our election systems, for one thing, and have rank voting, where you could pick the first, second, third choice, and that way you don't feel like you're wasting a vote if you're trying to reduce your odds. But to guns, I mean, what's going to reduce the likelihood? We can agree on reducing likelihood. I just gave you some examples of reducing likelihood where we're on the same page, but we just don't agree on the solutions. I agree. I don't know if there's global warming or not, but I don't care. I think we should do something about the oil industry. I think we should reduce carbon emissions. It might not be for the same reasons. I'm totally on the same page with you, but I don't think it should be carbon taxes. I think we should invest hugely in solar, though, and it should be all over the country, and I think we should invest in thorium. We should check out thorium, T-H-O-R-I-U-M, type of nuclear energy that doesn't have the risks. And saw an awesome documentary on it the other day. If I can find that for you here. It's actually called World's First Nuclear Salt Reactor Documentary. That's my review of the week. World's first salt nuclear reactor. It's like molten salt is a coolant system, is a coolant. But anyways, that's just another example. I know I'm getting a little off here into left, right field here. But it's just another example of where we can agree on the solution to have cleaner energy. That might not be for the same reasons why. Who cares? As long as I'm on your side on that, and it's for a sincere reason to help the environment, I think we should stop cutting down the rainforest. I think we should grow hemp instead of trees for paper. So I like my paper towels, and I don't want to give those up. Those could make good compost, but I don't want trees being cut down for it. I want something that can grow cheaper, and it's just better all the way around. So there could be lots of other plants as well, but that's just one. And that has many other benefits economically and some morally. So we might not agree on the solutions exactly, although I think most people would agree on increasing solar and alternative forms of energy. I do believe in public options. I do think it needs to be a voluntary society. Anyways, the gun control is, are we going to make guns illegal? Are we going to make it tougher to get ones? Just some things to think about. Are the police still going to have guns? I mean, most of the violence actually comes from our law enforcement. They're all militarized. I mean, they look like stormtroopers from Star Wars, a lot of them. I mean, that's Big Brother 1984. That's every dystopian, scary future you see where it's all controlled by robots or some kind of military. And should you have a right to defend yourself? Again, should you have to suffer for what less than 1% of the population does? You know? I mean, what is democracy if we're not educated and informed? And if we are an educated and informed society, I can guarantee you there would be less violence. And we'd want to make it less likely. I mean, is it the video games? Is it the music? No, I don't think it's all that. Maybe one or two people here and there that are crazy, but they're probably crazy because of something like that else. It's our economic system. So we could look at our trade policies, our wars, our going into debts, reducing the power of our dollar, our purchasing power for these wars and going into debt because of them, spending trillions of dollars destroying our opportunities instead of creating trading partners. Peace, which has a lot better prosperity, and putting money into research and technology instead of to special interests. It does go in some research, but it's not free market at all. And it's not a level playing field. I mean, if we had a level playing field, you know, I'm very libertarian, but we don't have any level playing field, so we have to even the playing field what we can first. Or is this education thing? you know, and is this something we can do without the government? Can we reduce the violence without government? Can we unite together on principles that we can agree on? And, you know, I believe people have the right to defend themselves. It's not the gun. I mean, what if someone was attacked in a street parking lot by, let's say, someone of some other ethnicity? Would they make that ethnicity illegal? I mean, that's the same principle as a gun, and it's the person wielding the gun. It is a powerful, blunt instrument, so you could practically say it's kind of a more practical system to get rid of the guns. I mean, what if there was a, you know, people that are on the no-fly list we transported to the no-gun registration list? Do you think that the no-fly list that has hundreds of thousands of people is a fair list? Do you think there aren't probably more than half of the people on there that shouldn't be on there? And should they not have a right to defend themselves? People, or so some people that are going to be on medication, some people that are returning war vets, they're just statistically found to be more of a problem. Instead of being treated as an individual, they're automatically going to have their rights removed. No, what happened to being innocent before being guilty? Are we going to have pre-crime now? You know, could someone be a political enemy and be put on some kind of list where they can't buy a gun to defend themselves? So I think it's very natural to no one would argue if you framed it in the sense that you have a right to defend yourself. I think it's a fundamental thing, and this is one way, you know, I think it's out of the box a little bit. I mean, you know, I'm not a total Republican or Democrat or anything. It's just an independent thought. And so I don't want to be part of, you know, I mean, it's what you use it as. I mean, you know, someday hopefully all the weapons and swords will be turned into plowshares, right? And, you know, I do think seriously about this. Like, am I contributing to, no, I'm contributing to analyzing and brainstorming thoughts and getting to the truth. And the biggest killer has been the government. And it is a fact that one of the reasons why Japan in World War II did not want to attack the U.S. mainland is because behind every blade of grass, there's going to be a barrel pointing at you. And, I mean, of, you know, 200 million guns. And you know what? That does make me feel safer. And people say, oh, well, you know, I'm not advocating any kind of violent revolution. But people probably could hold their own. I mean, look at Afghanistan and stuff. But I don't think you can have an honest, you can't, like, kind of force someone to love you. And I don't think you can force someone not to be able to defend themselves if you truly want to treat someone as an adult. Now, if you want to have individual neighborhoods or cities where they have no guns, I think that's okay. I think at least neighborhoods. I don't know about cities. That might be too broad of a jurisdiction. But neighborhoods, sure. And they could be expanded neighborhoods. There are new neighborhoods that people that aren't already existing living there. But we have less than a minute. Maybe next week we'll talk about objective. But, yeah, I mean, guns really is, if you look at it principally, it's not the gun. That is a practical matter, but then you go into other principles. So we'll let it regurgitate tonight. Have a great week. And everyone, let's, one thing we can agree on is that we do want a more peaceful world, and blessed are the peacemakers, I would say. And that's what we want to be. All right. Take care.